It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone was like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up over the next 3 hours today on the good old program, Josh Applebaum, VSiN betting analyst, to look at the NFL lines for this week in 30 minutes. Drew Butler kicked at Georgia and the NFL. We'll talk about his alma mater taking on Ohio State in the playoff game this week. Does he like the Bulldogs to cover? Mike Palm a little bit later on. Mike Florio a little bit later on. It's a perfect day to have him on the show. We'll tell you why coming up here in a minute. And in 15 minutes from right now, I did talk with Mad Dog, the entry here in Circa Survivor, who had the entire thing. He was seconds away from scooping the entire $6.1 million over the weekend. Then he lost the next day in Miami. I talked to him for an hour yesterday on the phone. I will give you some of the notes that he shared with me in 15 minutes. And the question that everybody wants to know, did he hedge?
Yeah.
I'll tell you at that point.
Can't wait. Cannot wait for that story. One first down, one more stop, and he gets $6 million.
And that's it.
And the fact if you let...
score a point in the second half.
Well, that too, right. Well, more than three the last three quarters after the nice opening drive.
Yep.
But when did he let his mind go there? About, my God, I can do this.
He's just got to
get the Vikings home first.
You are going to love what he told me.
All right.
You're going to love it.
I'm excited.
Okay, so the reason why today, Mike Florio is always a good guest, but he was writing about this last night. Sean Payton, former coach, New Orleans Saints, and whether or not we could see him resurface in the NFL as a head coach somewhere, and a couple of scenarios here, right? One, would he tag team with Tom Brady if he were to leave the Buccaneers? And two, is that possibility to go back and coach the Saints again? How about that?
Yeah.
So the current head coach was the DC under Sean Payton for a long time. Payton retires. He's like, nah, you know what? I kind of want to get back into this coaching thing. I'll bring Brady back to where I'm a legend. And Dennis, we'll see you later.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's a snap call. Dennis goes back to being the DC and Payton takes over and is the coach. That'd be bizarre if they team up again. A lot of ins, a lot of outs. But that'd be bizarre that Brady would stay in the division here with a package deal. And then, you know, Florio had this, which did still to this day didn't get enough attention, that Brady and Peyton were going to team up in Miami.
Bingo.
And then, right? And this was all laid out where Brady was going to retire and then go in the Tampa Bay front office and then say, you know what, I changed my mind. And then once Tampa found their quarterback, then Brady was going to say, okay, I'm going to sit out of here, but then I'm going to play for the Dolphins. And then that's when he comes onto the yacht and wants to have a talk with Ross and Flores, and Flores walks off, and this is tampering and nothing to see here.
I recall when that story came out, like several times, right? Dan Lebatard on his show, and he was spot on.
Yes.
Lebatard kept saying, how is this not the biggest story in the country?
Right.
Why is nobody, he's like, Florio's talking about it. We're talking about it every day. Why is it not by far and away, like landslide, we're talking Peyton and Brady wanted to go to the Dolphins, but yet nobody's touching it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no, 10-foot pole, no way, not us. We can't. Why? Why was it? Should have been. So I think that this would make a lot of sense for him to return anywhere to the Saints. I don't know if he really wants to do that or not, but I think it's getting almost clear by the day that if Brady does in fact come back and play next year in the NFL, it's not going to be with Tampa Bay, and they're going to be a mess. Rodney right. Harrison was talking about that over the weekend, his former teammate in New England for a long, long time. So there are spots that could exist, right?
Where yes.
As, and let's put it this way. Like, I'll run. I have like seven teams on the list.
Can I say this quickly?
Of course.
I think he should retire. I think you're seeing the end. He can't play anymore.
It's totally fair.
He'll probably go out and beat the Cowboys in the first round playoff game. But I just, how bad he's been this year.
He was
pathetic Sunday night. Arizona stinks.
Yep.
I think it's over for Brady, but go ahead.
Okay. So the Saints would, well, based on this report, the Saints would be one of the teams then, right?
Yeah.
And how juicy would this would be. I'm going to throw six other teams at you, Paul. And you can give me the Dikembe Mutombo or you can embrace it. How about the Rams? McVay goes and takes a TV job. And
I don't like it.
Peyton could go there and work with Stafford, or this like could it. Be the Brady combination going to L.A.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's fine.
Because
that's fine.
The guy just won a Super Bowl.
I looked at the entire list of teams in the entire league, and I came up with maybe teams that would make sense. I only came up with seven, and you can say no to all of these if you'd like. How about Arizona? You're convinced Kingsbury's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Not that Brady would go with him there, but Sean Payton could go there and work with Murray. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's possible. I don't know how much he'd be a fan of Murray. But I'm dismissing the package with Brady and Peyton.
Okay,
I'm just saying it's Peyton coming back, and they're not going to team up.
I'm going to throw a couple of teams who currently still have head coaches, but you never know what might happen. But the Cleveland Browns,
I could see it. Now I don't know how he feels about Watson as well, but I could see that Stefanski now has gone from. The cats me out of yesterday's news,
uh-huh.
And they've had enough of him.
That's very
what
true.
He's done. Stefanski had a terrible year. Also, maybe you could blame a little bit of Watson's struggles on Stefanski as well. They have been horrible since Watson has come back.
Yep.
I would also, to steal your thunder, I'd look at what happens if the Cowboys get beat big in the playoffs.
Oh, I don't have them on the list.
That's number one. Now, that's a lot of ifs.
That would be number one, yeah.
That's a lot of ifs.
It is, yeah.
But if the Cowboys lose... Hell, I won't even say blown out. If the Cowboys just lose, if 13-win Dallas loses to 8-win Tampa Bay, Jerry might say, that's it, I've had enough.
That I could actually see that as a possibility.
Yeah.
And then Peyton there would obviously make a ton of sense. I also have, this one's going to be pretty obvious, but I don't think it makes sense. Would he go to the Colts? Again, what's that quarterback situation like? Would Brady want to go and play in Indy if they were going to tag team? I don't see that happening. And then he's got to work with Irsay as the owner?
No.
The Broncos are going to be kicked around like...
No.
I don't see it either.
Nope.
And plus, when you...
Could be over for Wilson. This might be... Yes, might be... We used them the right way in Seattle. Manage the game. Don't take chances. And now it's over. He's going rogue. Not running the offense how it's supposed to be designed and what we want to do. And it's over for Wilson. I don't think he wants any part of that situation in the contract.
I'll go one more here on Denver. Now you have the CEO coming out and saying that the head coach is going to report to me and not the GM.
Yeah.
How many like true head coaching candidates are going to say, yeah, I find that desirable?
The kids are involved now. I mean, this is right. You want to talk about too many cooks in the kitchen?
You think Sean Payton would want to do that?
Oh no,
no
man,
way. No way.
Yeah.
And I'll give you another one. A lot of ifs here, and it's not going to happen, but I'll throw it out there anyway, because. Brady kind of confirmed this, actually. He said it without saying it, that the spot where he was going to go was right here in Las Vegas. Now, Mark Davis has said that, stop this with the McDaniel stuff. I like him. He's taking us in the right direction. But what if Peyton and Brady told Mark Davis, yeah, we'll make this happen. We'll come and play. We'll be a combo deal out to Las Vegas. You boot McDaniels to the wayside, and we're a package deal.
Won't happen. I would have fired McDaniels already. If I was owning the team. But they think we can't keep changing coaches every year. We need stability. We can't keep doing this. And that's why he'll give McDaniels a couple years.
Would you want to see that out here? Would you take? I know what you're saying about Brady.
Well, it should have happened years ago. Gruden right. blew it.
I know.
Dana White's.
Even if you think Brady is done, would you rather not see him one more year than Derek Carr?
I'd rather see another year of Brady as the Carr out here. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. You're not going anywhere with Carr. Leads the league in interceptions now.
That by the way,
that's prop is crazy.
That's a big. He had three on Sunday, of course.
He was a big dog going into last week. He's now the leader.
So a bunch of us have Davis Mills.
Yeah.
And now he's won back all of a sudden. Here's maybe the good news is that this week, Josh McDaniels said that, I don't know, we might be playing backups, including Derek Carr. By the way, as predicted yesterday, I told you, anybody can say this, but the 49ers fan base, they have a ton of money. Did you see the average ticket cost going for New Year's Day here in Las Vegas? It's like more than $4,000 per ticket.
Come on.
So for people who have season tickets for the Raiders,
Jesus.
They're going to say, wait a second, I can make how much more?
That's right.
Than I paid for my entire package of tickets if I don't go to the 49ers game? Yep. I think it's going to be, there's a chance this could be 65, 30, 35 Niners fans on Sunday against the Raiders.
Very true. Carolina, no, they're ruling them out in the division, and
yeah,
I don't know the quarterback. Yeah.
Would you like to see the Saints? If this happens,
I'd love to see the Saints. I'd also like to see Brady and Peyton go to New England. That could happen.
So then you're...
You had the Brady rumors going back to New England. I don't know if that's much ado about nothing, but still, that the report was out there. And then do you trade Belichick and get compensation?
That's pretty wild. That goes back to our conversation last week.
Yes.
When you called me outrageous, I called you totally stupid,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
The comment about how that's...
Did you ever think Brady would leave?
It would not
New
be
England?
Firing Belichick, but right. it would be
yeah, no. move on, compensation, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That Kraft has had enough of this. It's 4 years of not winning a playoff game.
Technically, that's not firing him though. So I'd
but
still
well, true, but they're also under five. They're under 500 since Brady left, and you don't be quick to dismiss it because you never thought Brady was going to leave New England and how that ended.
Yeah,
you let the GOAT leave, and he won another one.
All right, the countdown to 2023 has started, and Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook has you covered. To start the new year off with a bang, join BetRivers on both New Year's Eve and New Year's Day to ring in 2023. Log into BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app on December 31st to receive a 22% profit boost. Then log in again the following day on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2023, for a 23% profit boost on any qualifying wager. That's right. Celebrate with BetRivers and get not one, but two profit boosts. BetRivers, it's a whole new game. All right, up next, I talked to Mad Dog, the Circa Survivor entry, who was seconds away from scooping the entire $6.1 million all by his lonesome on Christmas Eve. Didn't happen, and then he bowed out the next day when the Dolphins lost to the Packers. I will tell you what he shared with me yesterday and the question that everybody wants answered, right? Did he hedge? I'll give you the details of what he told me coming up next. And Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only $79. Get access to everything we do through the big dance. Sign up today. You also get $20 to buy hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. You get every play, every guest from every host. Limited time offer. End of the madness. VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm on the edge of my seat. Let's go.
Okay. So yesterday afternoon, I got a phone call. And quite frankly, I never answer the phone anyway, even if my mom's calling.
Good move.
So I don't recognize the number. I don't answer. 10 seconds later, I get a text. And it says, hey, Mitch, this is one half of the Mad Dog entry that was in Survivor. So I called him back immediately. I was on the phone with this gentleman for an hour. It's an unbelievable story. So when you go back to Christmas Eve that day, the Thursday night game between the Jets and the Jags, that's its own separate week out here at Circa Survivor, combined with the games on Christmas Eve. And then they had to turn around by midnight Saturday night, get the next weekend, which was Christmas Day and Monday. So we were down to 14 people. And this person, Mad Dog 2, used the Vikings. And as it was unfolding throughout the entire day, Lions eliminated, Texans eliminated, the Jets got eliminated on Thursday night, the Browns went down, the Steelers had three entries. If they lose, this guy scoops the entire thing, $6.1 million on his own, right? So I must point out a couple of things. First of all, I got a text with a little bit of the background, briefly, yesterday from his proxy, Brett, Winner Circle Proxy Service out here in Las Vegas. Brett's a really good dude. And so I text Brett. And the only reason why I did this is because I know Brett. And I'm like, look, I have to ask, is there any way that he'd be willing to come on with us? I feel like a total jerk. It's the worst beat of all time. But if he's willing to come on, we would love to have him, obviously. He goes, I'll reach out. He goes, I'll give him your number and see if he responds. And he did. So I asked this person several times if he wanted to come on. This person does not like the limelight. He doesn't like a lot of attention. So he's still undecided. He might text me today and say, you know what, Mitch, I thought about it again. I'll come on tomorrow or I'll come on Friday. We'll see. But there is one reason why he told me he was willing to talk to me for an hour yesterday. And that's because he loves Derek Stevens and he loves the contest. He told me, he's like, nobody does this in the gambling industry. It's a juice-free tournament. He throws in a bonus and I tell everybody that I can in the Dallas and Texas area that you got to play in this tournament because it's incredible. And that's the only reason why he was willing to share a little bit. And he said, like, the gambling community probably deserves to hear some of the story as well because it's such a bad beat. Mm. Like, you want to hear the good wins, but you also want to hear the bad beats, and that's why he was willing to share some of it with me.
Should he have been here? Should he have anticipated this scenario?
Okay, so he explained to me right out of the gates, before I could even ask him about hedging or getting off or whatever, he explained to me that he's in his 50s, He's been a poker player for a long, long time. He's been gambling for decades. Paulie, he told me that he has a high tolerance for pain.
Oh.
Does that answer your question?
Okay.
And a little bit of the background here. He takes a lot of risks in gambling. A couple of examples that he gave me. He had the Marlins to win the World Series in 2003, the year that Beckett was on the team and they were loaded. He got him at 40-1 a few months before the playoffs started. He never hedged and took the Yankees. Marlins won the whole thing. He had $3,000 on the Panthers at 75-1 to win the Super Bowl the year they made it against the Patriots. It's $225,000. Did not hedge a single penny.
No.
Not a penny. So again, the person I talked to was one half of the entry.
Mm.
He doesn't believe in hedging. Never has. The other person, that's the actual mad dog, he got down a little bit. But as this person told me, his biggest regret of the entire weekend was not telling Mad Dog to grab $150,000, $200,000. Maybe a little bit more. But Mad Dog did, he did probably walk away with about 50 is what he told me.
Oh, wow.
50,000. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. They played teams such as Chicago, Washington, and Denver right away with this entry. Got them out of the way. And they won with those teams. So they were kind of backloaded at the end of the year. They were also saving Miami specifically for Christmas Day. They said pretty much the entire year we were saving Miami for that day. Now think about this again. If the Raiders win, they scoop the entire $6.1 million. They could not get a single point in the second half. Fast forward to the next day. If Mostert doesn't fumble, the Dolphins don't lose that game, I don't think. And then Tua gets the concussion again and he's all over the place in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But he explained to me over and over and over again that the way I look at it is this. We had a $6 million game on Saturday night. And if we lost that one, if we win with the Dolphins, I knew that everybody was going to take Tampa Bay. The two of the people had Tampa Bay left against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be another basically $6 million game. If the Cardinals, he's like, who's Tampa Bay? They stink. Cardinals can win that game. And then if they would happen to lose, it comes down to another $6 million game with the Chargers taking on the Colts.
Yeah, he was right, but it was a third-string quarterback.
No, so I know. I know. But then if that happened, if the Buccaneers lost to the Cardinals, Chargers won, they'd be down to two, and he would have another $6 million game. So in his mind, he had the potential of basically having three different $6 million games back to back to back. Part of the reason, again, why he did not hedge. And he doesn't believe in it anyway.
I agree with Mike Palm here, though. Mike Palm's like, you can win all this money, and you're still alive. For the $6 million,
right?
How Mike Palm would have played it, and he's coming up later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't. He doesn't believe in hedging. The other guy, Mad Dog, made about $50,000.
Yeah, and Matt.
Oh my,
so what?
So what could he? Being in Texas, and we're rubbing elbows with these people in the blackjack tournament. Apparently, you have no problems getting down for mid six figures on an NFL game in Texas if you want to.
I asked him specifically that question. And he said, if he wanted to, without hesitation, he said, if I wanted to, I could have gotten down $500,000 on the game. Easy.
And I believe him.
Oh, yeah. So do I. I was asked.
And being in the poker community. Like, if this happened to you or me.
Yeah.
I mean, you could call David Baker. Absolutely.
Sure.
I call Daniel Legrano. I've interviewed him before.
Yeah,
I would actually call Legrano. I mean, the guys in the poker community understand this.
Right.
Stuff.
I need
and
a
they
million.
Got the cash line.
Yeah, you're right. I like what you said yesterday. Give me 50, I'll give you 60 back in 3 hours.
Whatever, right?
Whatever it is. Give me $1 million, I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Now, we also run in the same circles with a guy who says, here, you would not be able to get down that kind of money at 3 hours notice on a standalone game when the books are already heavy on Pittsburgh. We can kick that around too later, but
right.
I think...
I was asked that question too from several people last night, and I said, I think that here in Las Vegas, like if you set it up in time, right? If you prepared for this, if you came here to Circa, if you went to some of the MGM properties, you could get down hundreds of thousands. I'm pretty convinced of that.
Hold on.
They'll take $200,000 here on the app.
I know that, but I'm saying if you want like $1 million or $1.5 million on the game or something. Mike Baum said he put $1.5 million on the game. They're not taking $250,000 from a guy off the street. I don't see it. I mean, you see these big bets at Caesars and all this? Well, these are whales who blow their brains out on the tables.
Sure, and that's why I think if you set this up in the first place. But again, who thinks 13 people are going to buy?
I understand that.
But now, how do you like this?
He's got to worry. Well, you got to see. You should have seen it coming. You said, he's got to worry about the Vikings and a 61-yard field goal first. I wouldn't let my mind go there.
But here he did.
He did?
On Christmas Eve, the morning of the games. Again, this is one half of the Mad Dog entry that I talked to yesterday.
Titans game could have been postponed.
Here's the thing. He called Mad Dog and he said, we're winning the whole thing today. He had that feeling.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. But that's where they kind of got screwed as well. The Titans game was pushed back.
Yeah.
They had to watch that unfold and develop. And it wasn't like, that wasn't in the bag for Houston until late.
Yes.
And so because that game was pushed back, they only had 2 hours, maybe two and a half, before the Raiders-Steelers game started, and it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Game started late, yeah.
So because of the double whammy, by the way, and then the Dolphins go, I mean, you had to leave the house. How do you not just get out of the house for a while on Christmas Day after that happens?
Yeah. Go lay on a beach for a couple of days.
Oh, I would have left. I would have told the wife, I'll be back, I don't know when. I mean, you just have to understand.
Ronnie Palm, happened. After the Cubs blew it in 84 against the Padres. I need some time to myself.
Yep. So, Mad Dog himself played a little bit on the Giants versus Minnesota, between 8 and 10,000.
Okay.
He played about 15 to 20,000 on Pittsburgh money line, and then whatever happened the next day as well. So, he was able to get, he only had about 50,000. That was about it.
Oh, my God.
Both guys, yeah. Yep.
This just got worse.
He had the Chargers left, by the way, on Monday night.
Why didn't they use them?
They said pretty much all year long, we're not going to use road teams. They stuck to it.
All right.
Can't blame them for that.
I respect that.
Yeah?
Yep.
But saw how they kind of got screwed by the Tennessee start a little bit.
You never know. As you said earlier, Tua doesn't get the concussion. Mostert doesn't fumble.
Yep.
I mean, the Tampa Bay should have lost that game.
When I told you that they used Chicago, Washington, Denver like right away, there was also a week where this specific entry, Mad Dog himself was very high on Tampa Bay, and the other half that I talked to didn't really want him, but Mad Dog won him over. They used Tampa Bay. Total carnage that week in Survivor. Tampa Bay won. So they got by that week by using Tampa.
Incredible story.
It's an amazing story. It really is.
45 seconds from $6 million.
Bupkis. Yeah. We'll get an NFL market report with VSiN betting analyst Josh Applebaum coming up next. How does he look at these Week 17 numbers in the NFL? Find out coming up on Follow the Money.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Get a $10 free bet when you sign up for First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10. Plus, get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. Wagering at more than 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, easiest way to bet on your favorite sport, secure payments, great customer service, reliable website. Details at VSiN.com/horses. Sign up now.
Here we go. Our next guest kicked at the University of Georgia and in the NFL. He likes to gamble. And he is part of the Punt and Pass podcast. His name is Drew Butler. Good morning, Drew. How are you today?
I'm great. How are y'all doing? Great to be back.
Doing really well. Thanks for popping on today. You know, if you go back to like 2006, I remember when Ohio State played Florida in the national title game. When Ohio State won the Big Ten that year, on the air the next Monday, I said, Ohio State's going to kill Florida. I'm going to make Ohio State the biggest bet of my entire life. Well, then 50 days later, they finally played. They had this big layoff, right? As we were leading into the game, I'm like, you know what? I've changed my mind a little bit because they've played like the last time they played a game was a year ago, the way it feels. Have you overthought this game between your alma mater and Ohio State, or are you pretty much where you are today going back to when the matchup was announced like a month ago?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, honestly, when the matchup first came out, I was a little bit bearish. Ohio State having a new lease on life, backing their way into the college football playoff. I compared it to what happened to Georgia a year ago. Now, granted, that was different. Georgia did play in the SEC championship game. Alabama whooped them up. You knew Georgia was going to make it to the playoff regardless of what happened with the outcome of that championship game. But Georgia went into that Orange Bowl matchup against Michigan kind of with a clean slate, right? The pressure was off from having an undefeated season. They got leveled out after getting beat up by Alabama. So you felt really good about Georgia being refocused heading into that matchup. Now heading into this Peach Bowl matchup with Ohio State having that new lease on life, you might feel that these guys have nothing to lose getting into this game. And it is a really good matchup for how Ohio State can beat teams and where Georgia has shown vulnerability throughout the season.
I see that. There's also a good article, and I know where they're coming from, about the pressure on Day and Stroud. I guess it'd be more on Day if they win this game and then lose to Michigan in the title, if that could happen. Imagine that scenario. But you're right with the new lease on life. But also, if you come out and Georgia houses you, now they're starting to question Day and about what the hell's going on here in big games lately.
Absolutely. And you talk about, has my thought process changed? Well, yeah, I'm kind of getting back towards where I was talking myself into Georgia against that Tennessee matchup, right? Georgia playing Tennessee and Georgia going up against Ohio State. That's the one comparison a lot of people can make with how these offenses can attack Georgia's defense. But if you look at Ohio State's season on the whole, you could make the argument that, you know, they were vulnerable week in and week out. I mean, look what happened against Maryland late in the season. Northwestern 21-7. Then they have Michigan at home in a big spot to essentially make it to the playoff, and they fall flat on their face. Yeah, Georgia struggled against Mizzou and Kent State, and everybody will talk about that. But Georgia has continuously shown the opportunity and the ability to switch it on in big games, and they have done that a lot recently.
Yes, great point. They destroyed Oregon and buried Tennessee, and Tennessee couldn't move the ball.
Yep. Now, let me flip it for 1 second, and this might be a big if, but I'll throw it at you anyway. What if there's an early turnover, or they fall behind 14-3, and they're not typically in that spot, and Ohio State has it, you know, like – they're really running here on all cylinders and firing all cylinders, and they're going up and down the field maybe the first couple of times, and Stroud looks great, and he's hitting receivers, and before you blink, oh my God, we're down by 2 scores. Then what happens?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough spot. Remember, Georgia turned the ball over on that first possession against Tennessee, but the Tennessee attack was all about tempo, right? They were going to try to wear these defenses down, take advantage of some miscommunication, hit a long ball downfield, and then run away from a team. I feel like Ohio State's attack is a little bit different. You know, obviously a lot of shotgun, three-step drop from C.J. Stroud, but they like those plays to develop downfield. The way you beat Georgia is how Alabama beat them a year ago in the SEC championship game. It was quick game. Do not let the front seven affect the game. Tons of people are talking about Jalen Carter, how Georgia's defensive line can collapse the pocket from the inside and get in C.J. Stroud's lap early. That is when things fall apart for this Ohio State offense. So clearly Georgia is going to know, hey, they're not going to try to get into the trenches. They're not going to try to let these plays develop. They're going to try to get to the perimeter fast, get the quick game going, and see if they can wear down Georgia's defense like that. The key number, though, this weekend, guys, is the number 30. Do you think Georgia's offense, which nobody's talking about, will score 30 points against Ohio State's defense?
Yes.
Georgia is 55-1 under Kirby Smart when scoring 30 points. Conversely, though, do you think Ohio State will score 30 points on Georgia's defense?
No,
I would lean no.
Georgia is 2-9 when allowing 30 points or more under Kirby Smart. And those two victories were in the SEC championship game a couple of weeks ago. They beat LSU 50-30. And then the 2017 college football playoff Rose Bowl, that unbelievable overtime game against Oklahoma. Uh-huh. So that is the key number. It's 30. If Georgia scores 30, they got a great chance to win. And if they allow 30, it becomes a little bit more dicey. Only 2-9 under Kirby Smart when they've allowed 30 points.
Good job.
Great numbers.
The other thing, I like that too. I think Kirby yelling at him for what happened in the SEC title game in the second half against LSU. I think that's big too. About, we have a lot of things to clean up with this time off.
And that was a blowout too. I mean, halftime, I want to say it was 35-7. Georgia was routing LSU. So obviously from a player perspective, you start thinking about, hey, we're coming back for the Peach Bowl. We're going to win this game no matter what. Keep in mind too, Georgia has played and won two big games in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this year.
Yeah.
The kickoff game against Oregon and the SEC championship game against LSU. Yes, there will be a home field advantage because it's in Athens' backyard. But also, it's the creature comforts of these guys know exactly how that surface plays. They're familiar with the locker room. They know exactly what game day is going to be like. You can't say the same for Ohio State, and this will be an electric atmosphere on Saturday night.
It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Drew Butler is our guest, former kicker at Georgia and in the NFL, creator and host of the Punt and Pass podcast. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Drew Butler. So, I mean, clearly Georgia is like the most talented team in the country with Alabama, but Ohio State is like right there with them. I mean, they recruit all 4- and 5-star athletes like every single year. If you think the Buckeyes have an edge anywhere, where would it be? Or does an edge not exist for Ohio State in this game?
I mean, the obvious answer is their wide receiving core and how C.J. Stroud can distribute the football. If you've been watching any of the previews throughout the weeks leading up to this matchup, you see that even when Marvin Harrison Jr. is completely covered, C.J. Stroud can put it in a spot to where he's getting 35, 40-yard gains, and that can wear down any defense. I think if Ohio State tries to establish the run game after maybe having some success passing the football, that's where they can get into trouble because Georgia will not allow them to develop the run game to open up the pass. Conversely, I think Kirby Smart knows how to scheme up this defensive back end to make sure that Ohio State's not going to be able to take advantage all game long. Uh-huh. And where does it start, guys? It starts in the front four. If you can affect C.J. Stroud quick and then have him make quick decisions, the secondary looks a lot better. That's how football has always been played. And I think Georgia knows that in this matchup specifically, you have got to pressure C.J. Stroud early and often, make it a little bit easier on your back end, and then go feast.
Drew, most important question of the entire day, do your dogs cover?
You know, this line hasn't moved. 6.5 is such an interesting line. I thought that this was too many points, and it just depends. If they're going to get into a shootout, I like Georgia. I really do. Again, nobody's talking about Georgia's offense. They have tons of weapons, and they have been consistent all season long. Yes, of course, Ohio State is explosive on offense. I think Ohio State struggles to score 30 points. I think the long time for preparation in this game lends itself to an advantage for Georgia. And I think they win by a touchdown. So I'll say Georgia covers the 6.5. I've gone back and forth, guys, but I'm sticking with that. Georgia will cover. It's a big game, and Stetson should be able to turn it on.
Okay. Do you like anything in the other game with the Wolverines taking on the Horned Frogs at TCU?
You know, TCU getting more than a touchdown, they've been hanging around all season long. Max Duggan has stepped up big time in big games. Could this be the game where Blake Corum not being available actually kind of rears its ugly head against the Wolverines? I think this one could be a little bit closer. Michigan might have a tougher time getting up for this game. So give me the 7.5 with TCU. I'll take that and have some fun watching that one.
Very cool. Again, you can follow him on Twitter. He is at Drew Butler, and the name of his podcast is the Punt and Pass Podcast. Drew, happy holidays. By the way, congratulations, as you had a new baby back at the end of November. That's awesome. Baby number three? Child number three?
That's right. Olivia, she is a month old tomorrow, I think. So all good, man. Thank you so much.
Wow. How old are they, by the way?
Bridget is 4, Kara is 2, and Olivia is a month old.
How do you handle that, Drew?
Oh, boy.
I got an awesome wife, man. She's the best.
Yeah, that's very cool. All right, man. Best of luck this week, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
You too, sir.
Could you handle that, Paul? 4-2 in 1 month?
Need a lot of help there.
Yeah.
A lot of help.
He's a good dude. There you go.
What do you think? What are your early thoughts?
I think Georgia scores in the 30s. We talked about that against LSU.
I agree.
Kirby Smart said that. Get to 35. Well, if they get to 35, then that total's going to go over too. We will give you an updated look at the playoff picture in the NFL coming up next year on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Wednesdays with the Maestro in mere moments. DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL. And this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in free bets instantly. Download the app and use the code VSiN when you sign up. VSIN. DraftKings.com for full details.
All right, the Maestro himself joins us now. He is the VP of Circa Resort and Casino, the Golden Gate and the D in downtown Las Vegas. Mike Palm, not on studio today, but on Skype. Regardless, good to see you, pal. How are you?
Good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, New Brunswick, Maine, our loyal Nesson family. New City, Illinois. Peekaboo, Marquis, we see you. Newfoundland, Canada, watching on Rogers Sportsnet. New Albany, Pennsylvania on AT&T in the Pittsburgh area, and Newport Beach, California, sunrise over Spectrum. We say good morning and an early happy new year.
How was Christmas with, three little ones?
Christmas with my son for Christmas Eve. We went to midnight mass, and then he opened some presents in the morning. Then he went to his grandma's house. It's her birthday on Christmas, a big day there. They had over 65, 70 people. Her name is Nat Vidad. But my wife and the baby still in the Philippines, and then my stepdaughter with her grandmother in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Okay. So I told the story earlier in the show. It was the really long-winded version of Mad Dog, the entry in Circa Survivor, who nearly scooped the entire pot, right? Nearly $6.1 million to him on Christmas Eve night. Had the Steelers lost at home to the Raiders, he's the winner, the lone winner of the entire event. And it's quite the story. If you missed any of it, you can go back and find the Follow the Money podcast. I did it in the second segment of today's show, so 7:15 Pacific time. Mike, he told me that he's played poker for a long time. He's gambled for like decades. He's in his early 50s. A couple things. The only reason why he called me to tell me the story is because he loves Derek Stevens. He loves the contest. He loves what you guys do here at Circa. He brought up there's no juice, there's no rake. He had the bonus there. He tells all of his buddies and people that he wants the contest to be bigger and bigger and bigger every single year. And he knows that, you know, the gambling community, they love hearing good gambling stories, whether it's, you know, you win fortunes or it's really, really bad beat like that. Just your entire thought process and what you were thinking, because you called it going into the weekend like the most important or the craziest weekend in Survivor history, and it played out like that.
It certainly did. I said it's the greatest weekend of all time. Mm-hmm. Think about this, Mitch. The first 7 weeks, we went from 6,100 plus entries to 130. The next 7 weeks, which included the double hit on Thanksgiving, we went from 130 to 70. And then in the last 4 weeks, which includes the double Christmas, we went from 70 to 3, 14 to 3. You know, we discussed on Saturday night, if we had all the money in the world and we could get down, what would we do? I said I would lay 2.1 million at minus 140 on the Steelers and hope the Steelers won, because you pick up 1.5 million, you're still alive for the 6.1. Did you ask him, Mad Dog Mitch, if he was able to monetize his position?
Okay, so you're probably not going to like this answer. One of the first sentences out of his mouth is he has a high tolerance for pain. He's never hedged. He doesn't believe in hedging. I told the story that he had 3,000 on the Panthers the year they made the Super Bowl against the Patriots at 75-1. Didn't hedge a penny. He doesn't really believe in it. Now, the person I talked to was one half of the entry. The other half is actually Mad Dog himself. He said Mad Dog was able to get down. He won about 50,000, but the three regrets that Mad Dog has: one, Derek Carr hates him; two, the Dolphins not scoring a single point; and three, not getting down more money. But the person I talked to said he doesn't have a regret. And he told me that he could have gotten down probably 500,000 had he tried, and he didn't do it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Everybody has their own philosophy. Now, my understanding is that these three have gotten together, and on the table is a chop. But at least one of them at this point is preferring to play it out, and he'll monetize his ticket the way he wants to. But it's not in his nature to chop either. I wonder if the Mad Dog you talked to there from Texas has ever chopped in a poker tournament. If you sure. Go online, he's got poker tournament results. So we know he's been playing poker for. But anyhow, it's fascinating. And now look at the position these guys are in. The tough week is really next week, not this Sunday, but I think next week, because right now for us to predict, you don't know if things are still matter to people. I look at next week first, so look at it backwards. Seahawks, if they're still in it, host the Rams. They might be the biggest favorite of the weekend. Only Jed has them available. The Chargers, who will be at the Broncos. Now, what do they have to play for? Are they playing for a position where they don't want to play Kansas City? You know, are they playing for a higher wild card? Only Brown A has them. He has them this week as well. Brown A has the only one that has the Chargers as a 6.5-point favorite against the Rams. Everybody has the Lions, 6-point home favorite against the Bears. Everybody has Jacksonville, be it a road game, but Jacksonville now, if the season ended today, would be the number 4 seed in the South champ. And then Brown A and the enemy within both have the Giants this week as well. So I wonder if Brown A might save the Chargers this weekend for next weekend, being that nobody besides Jed really has a clear-cut favorite outside of the Chargers. But then again, we don't know if people have been eliminated or not.
Yeah.
Been eliminated or not next week.
It's tempting to take the Lions, season on the line, off a bad loss, and the Bears want to get the number one pick. I would think the Lions should be able to cover and win the game as well. I'm glad you brought up the poker comparison, because you know we've chopped in a blackjack. I chopped in a blackjack tournament. How would that work? Because as the great Joe, who works here and all over, pointed out, even though you chop, someone has to be declared the winner, and then it would get the big prize, right? Isn't that true?
If they could all agree not to submit a pick, Paulie, and then it would be a 3-way chop.
Okay.
Oh, that's the way around it.
Mm-hmm. But you got it. There's a lot of trust.
Oh, that's a lot of trust.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my God. You have to be in the same room as everybody else. Phones down. You can't talk to anybody. That's... no proxy, anything like that. So he told me again that he could have gotten down 500,000. And Paulie and I were both asked this question like yesterday, and it's tricky, Mike, because the Tennessee game got pushed back, meaning he only had about 2.5 hours to operate there before the Sunday night game on Christmas Eve. Let's say he played it out to where he came to Las Vegas and he talked to the properties in advance. How much money do you think he comfortably could have gotten down beforehand. I told people hundreds of thousands of dollars if we spread it out. Do you think that's a little unfair, or is that accurate?
Well, he could have got 100 with Circa.
Yep.
I'm sure he could have probably got 50 with William Hill. I think he could have probably got 400, maybe. You know, I would go over 300 for sure, spreading it out on the dip. Now, really, there's only about six independent lines, right? So you got to take that into account. He might have been able to get down more if they moved the number on him to let him bet 50 and move it bet 50 again. But I think he could have probably got close to the 500.
So what you said Sunday with Brent was very good, Brent Musburger, about why you would go so much if you were in this position, because your thinking is, I can win my bet, which I would want to do, and I can pocket $1 million, and I'm still alive for the $6 million.
If you put $2.1 million on Pittsburgh minus 140 and the Raiders won, you lose 2.1 and you win 6, you win 4, right? If the game ties, you push that bet and you win a 6.1 clear. Or if the Steelers win, you're up $1.5 million, and now you can position yourself. Even if you had Miami, you could have made a large money line wager on Tampa Bay, right? Because he could have still won $1.5 million if Tampa and the Chargers had both lost that week, too. So he had a hedging position even after Miami lost. But to the point, mm-hmm. I mean, they're up 10 and they fumble at the 2 minutes at midfield, and, yes. And then it all goes awry. I wonder if that Mad Dog entry has a case against Derek Carr. Could they recover some of the money from him?
Oh, man, send him an IOU.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I can't imagine. I mean, think about that. The two teams that got him, right?
Oh.
The Raiders did not score in the second half after leading the entire way against the Steelers, pissed that game away. And then they come back and they fire on the Dolphins the next day. They're still alive. And if Mostert doesn't fumble, I'm pretty convinced that game is over with. The Dolphins win. But he did. That changed the... And then Tua with the concussion.
Yeah. Yeah. And forget about points. He just needs a first down in the or a
That's
stop.
It.
Carr, Mike, where's the pass to Adams on the sideline? Who is that throwing to? Who's he throwing to? 10 yards.
Mad Dog was second and five away from $6 million.
Yes.
Second and five.
Yes.
Yep.
And within 18 hours, it's gone.
Yes.
Like that, vanishes. It's got to be one of the worst beats in history.
It's very interesting in the sample size of 3 years, though. But we see, especially in Survivor, these folks kind of live their life and they play it how they live their life. They don't chop, they don't chop. Billy Chippis, you know, he doubled down.
Right.
He had a huge hedging opportunity to take the Broncos in 10 in that game, right? No, he doubled down with Kansas City. They lived their life and they got here the way they got here and they move forward. But because, you know, it really, the Survivor is the everyman contest. It's the roofer and the plumber and this, you know, it that's what makes it so great to me.
Yep. And you know, the deeper we get into this thing too, the more people that you talk to that are making deep runs, exactly what you just said, more people don't believe in hedging. They're just like, that's not who I am. I've never done it, so I'm not going to start to do it now. And you can disagree with it all you want, obviously. So hang tight, Mike. We're going to bring you back for another segment. And it's very early. I mean, by God, have you guys even started to talk about next year? Because there's a new wrinkle in the NFL schedule starting next year. And think about it like this. I mean, you had the whole separate weeks with Christmas and then, you know, Thanksgiving. What if they flex out of the Monday night game that's original? Then what?
Absolutely.
Then what do you do? I can't. I mean, the wheels already have to be spinning in the risk room here at Circa. You, Derek, everybody else. We'll ask you about that exact scenario coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Mike Florio coming up. Get a $10 free bet when you sign up for First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10, plus get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. With wagering at more than 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, the First Bet app's easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website. Details at VSiN.com/horses. Please support the sponsors and sign up now.
Here we go. Mike Florio now on the program. Pro Football Talk, NBCSports.com. Mike, happy holidays. Thanks for the time as always. We certainly appreciate it. You were writing this at the website last night. It's the worst-kept secret in league circles, the possibility of Sean Payton coming back, possibly to the Saints. How realistic is that? And would it have to be as a package deal with Tom Brady?
Well, I think that what made it resonate with me was that of all the potential openings out there where Payton could land, none of them would entail a clear opportunity to partner up with Tom Brady. Broncos, Russell Wilson, Chargers, Justin Herbert. Not that the Chargers are going to make a coaching change now that they're in the playoffs. But any of these other places, other than Indianapolis, Indianapolis would be the one place where Payton and Brady could maybe get together. But I don't know that the Colts want to go the aging veteran quarterback route after being burned by it four straight years. But the Saints would make sense because then Payton pivots right to Brady. Brady stays in the division, goes to a team that has given him fits during his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that would just make a ton of sense if it were to happen. They were so close to working together in 2022 with the Dolphins. I just can't help but wonder whether or not they both have that itch. And there's only one way to scratch it, land in New Orleans together.
Can you elaborate on that again when you had that story, which should be, as Dan Le Batard said, the biggest story in sports, about how close it was and what the Brady plan was to go to Miami with Payton?
Oh, I think that when Sean Payton resigned from the Saints, there was a plan unofficially in place for him to land with the Dolphins eventually. When Tom Brady retired from the Buccaneers, it was with the knowledge that he was going to, step one, be named minority owner of the Dolphins, mm-hmm. step two, unretire and go play for the Dolphins after Sean Payton had taken the job. Step one would have been Brady minority owner. Step two would have been a trade between the Dolphins and the Saints for the rights to Sean Payton. And then step three would have been Brady at some point in April or May coming out of retirement to play for the Dolphins. That was going to happen. That was a done deal. And it was the Brian Flores lawsuit that blew everything up. And the Brian Flores lawsuit was actually filed the same day that, I think it was the same day Brady retired. It was tied into some development in all of this that blew everything up and threw it all off the rails.
What if Dallas loses by two touchdowns in the first round of the playoffs? Could it just be Payton alone to the Cowboys?
Well, I'm going to be more specific than that. What if Dallas loses on another crazy moment that has the fingerprints of bad coaching all over it, like the quarterback draw last year?
Yeah, very good.
When they drew it up, they didn't account for the fact that the umpire has to get through the mass of bodies to actually put his hands on the football. You can't spot it yourself. The umpire has to spot it for you. So if there's another coaching lapse like that, and they lose to Tom Brady, coincidentally, in the wild card round of the playoffs, that could result in the Cowboys making a move. One thing that doesn't get mentioned very often, Jerry Jones is cheap. For a guy that's got a $250 million yacht and had to have this great stadium and seems to be very lavish and says all the time he'd be surprised at the size of the check that I would write if it would guarantee me winning a Super Bowl. He doesn't like to pay coaches to not work. So he'd have to be willing to buy out Mike McCarthy's contract. And he'd have to pay Sean Payton a lot more than whatever he was ready to pay him 4 years ago. That's one of the things that's detailed in my book, Playmakers, how close Sean Payton came to becoming coach of the Cowboys in 2019. It was basically a day away from the whole process activating itself. So, the relationship is there. The interest has been there. And this is probably the last chance that Jones would ever have to hire Sean Payton. It all comes down to how this season ends for the Cowboys.
All right, Mike. So if you had to bet on it next year, will Sean Payton be coaching somewhere in the league?
I don't bet. So I wouldn't bet on it. I'd rather keep my money because I know I wouldn't win. I think that, he said recently to Tom Brady on his podcast, it's going to be this year or next year. He may just kick the can a year and see what happens. Unless Brady really is that interested and they're both mutually motivated to work together, their best and only chance to do it may be next year in New Orleans, if that's how it all shakes out.
You're a connected guy, great sources. Will the league revisit this
NFC South hosting a playoff game against maybe a 13-win Dallas team?
No, it'll never be revisited. It'll never be changed. Here's why. Every owner knows going into the season, I've got essentially a 1-in-4 chance of hosting a playoff game. All I have to be is the best of four teams. And if I'm that team, no matter how bad my team otherwise is, if I win my division, I host a playoff game. They don't want to take that away from themselves. Because you never know when this rule that's creating a screwy outcome right now in the NFC South and was creating a screwy outcome 2 years ago in the NFC East. You can have a couple of division champions that are at or below 500 this year, both of the South. I mean, the Jaguars right now are 7-8. They could finish 8-9 and still win the division. So they're just not going to change it because the owners very much like the fact that you just have to be the best of four teams to not just make the playoffs but host a playoff game.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but I see where you're coming from. Does Tua play again this year?
Well, look, I don't think the question is should he play again this year. I think the question is should he play again ever. Because if he's cleared to play, then he should play. Now, will he be cleared to play, but will there be other considerations, optics, PR, whatever, that caused the Dolphins to do what they did back in the middle of October when they were playing the Vikings and he was cleared to play, but he didn't play in that game? I think the pressure is going to be on the team, the pressure is on the league, and the pressure is going to be on Tua to not play. And I think at some point, you know, you try to play these things out and figure out where it's all heading. At some point, Tua is not going to be able to get cleared by a doctor. We had the story very recently with Mike White supposedly talking to 10 different doctors to try to get cleared to play with a broken rib. At a certain point, Tua is going to be that guy who's going to every doctor that he can find and not get clearance to play. And then you've got the possibility, and this has shades of Colin Kaepernick, although the substance of it is very different. The idea that the league may just decide it's not good for business to have Tua playing in the National Football League because he's small. He's in a position where the physics do not favor him when 300-pound guys start whipping his body around. Yeah. He doesn't protect himself the way a Drew Brees does. And it may just be, hey, we've had enough of these Tua Tagovailoa concussion controversies. This is going to be a thing for as long as he's in the NFL. We have to worry about this possibility of another concussion and, you know, new shows talking about growing concerns about Tua's health. He's a popular player. I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the day, there's just no job for him in the NFL. And they all collectively, independently make the assessment that Tua's not a good choice to be a starting quarterback. It may look like collusion, but it could be that the 32 teams individually realize the best interest of the broader business are to use quarterbacks who don't have these concussion issues that become major national stories. It's wrong if it comes to that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what happens.
You can follow Mike on Twitter. He is at Pro Football Talk. Does a great job with the website at NBCSports.com as well. Mike, happy holidays. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate that.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
You too.
Be good.
Great job. There you know, he references book, too, that part of the book, Playmakers.
All right.
That is a wild story as well. Breeze was going to be the coach of the Cowboys, but then Anthony...
Payton.
What'd I say?
Breeze.
Oh, geez, thank you. Peyton was going to be the coach of the Cowboys, but then Anthony Davis requested a trade, and then Loomis was also calling the shots with the Pelicans
and
the Saints, and he didn't want Peyton and Davis to leave on his watch with the two big teams.
That's exactly right.
That is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
If Davis doesn't request the trade... Peyton is the coach of the Cowboys.
Yeah, think about that for a second.
Oh, man.
I think he's spot on. I mean, if there's a total debacle at the end of a playoff game like last year, I don't think you can bring the guy back.
That's even better.
I mean,
losing by 14 points. Right.
I mean, that's an all-time messy ending to a game.
Yes.
Where you're just completely clueless with that play call.
Indeed.
Now, for that to happen again, McCarthy clearly would never learned his lesson then. So that's you're up. I mean, if you're wishing for that to happen again, it's a big time wish. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a pipe dream.
And you lose to a team under 500 again, and you had 13 wins, and it happened like that. And he's running out of time. He's not going to live forever.
No, that's exactly right.
It's all that up against.
If you missed any of the show today, you go back and listen on your own time. Search the Follow the Money podcast wherever you get your podcast. Second segment of today's show, I told the story of a mad dog. Talked to him for an hour yesterday. You want to catch that for sure.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.